Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, Frond. And tonight we have a very, very special... Why are you looking at me?
I'm interested in seeing your frond.
I don't mean that in some sort of Scandinavian... You know, the Scandinavian word for...
I didn't hear the umlaut.
The Scandinavian word for I had sex with Ben Affleck is frond.
Wow.
And I did have sex with Ben Affleck back in the... Back in the 70s.
That's a startlingly large vocabulary, this kid.
Was he even alive during the 70s?
we were in
Harvard, right?
I don't think Ben went to Harvard. I think Matt Damon went to Harvard. In fact, he was in my class. I think they were in high school together at the Cambridge Ringe and Latin High School. But I don't think...
Wouldn't you rather have sex with Matt Damon than Ben
Affleck? Well, it's hard to say because, Ben is the... I would like to have sex with the genetic combination of Ben Affleck.
Or both of them at the same time. A San Francisco sandwich with a frond filling.
Now, are these a Goodwill Hunting type of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, or is it more of a Dogma dressed as angels in armor Ben Affleck and Matt Damon?
It's a whole show unto itself, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm saying a little bit of that. What's that lesbian movie that Ben Affleck was in? Chasing Amy. A little Chasing Amy, Ben Affleck. A little bit of...
country, a little bit of rock and roll.
A Julia Roberts movie where Mystic Pizza... Where Matt had his breakthrough role, Mr. Pizza.
Your Ben Affleck food is far greater than mine.
I can't hear anything. But enough about Ben Affleck. Oh, actually, speaking of Scandinavia, did you know that today, the Danes have made gay marriage legal? They legalized gay marriage.
I thought it was the Dutch.
Danes? Is there a difference between the Danes and the Dutch?
Well, yes. Yeah. Denmark as opposed to the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Entirely different countries.
Well, this has happened today in the Netherlands. Gay marriage is entirely... apparently,
yes.
There's some sort of, like, final little legal hurdle it has to go through, but that's just... It has to be sort of stamped by the first praetor or whatever.
It's all that marijuana.
So, this means that... I mean, I think that at this point, all of Sweden, the Netherlands, and what's the other little country that's... I always
think... Liechtenstein.
There are so many possibilities.
Denmark.
Monaco.
Denmark, Sweden, and the Netherlands. I mean, if you go to an American high school, you think those are basically the same country. all have some reasonable form of countrywide gay marriage. In fact, I think you're required to. If you get married, you have to be gay.
Wow. That's very progressive.
Very progressive. But I would like to turn the conversation away from gay marriage and toward our guest, Peter. Peter, thank you much for joining us. I'm sorry to have such an abrupt segue there, but
yeah, it wasn't your typical smooth, buttery smooth.
I didn't notice until you pointed it out. So,
and Peter's here tonight to tell us Peter's here tonight to describe. Well, let me step back a second and say, and tonight's show is going to be one of a series of reality shows that we're going to have where we take real people. Real people and have them describe experiences from their past. And Peter has a very touching, heartwarming, tragic, and painful story to share with us.
So this is, in a sense, a very special episode of Sex Talk.
And so I hope that and true, entirely true.
I'm actually checking my notes now because I was going to tell the one about the three nuns and the penguin, but obviously you have a different idea.
We can use that for the... when we do our show,
it is a true story actually, and I guess there's a whole series of coincidences that surround this, and I don't know whether or not whether DJ Frond wants to get into them or not, but I was actually just telling this story to someone just a few weeks ago, and it was something I'd never really told it to someone in its entirety, and when I actually said it out loud, I realized how completely sordid and
sleazy
it was.
Oh,
and,
right.
And therefore I thought it would be really perfect, of course, to write about and to bring on. Your show was really the first thing I thought of.
When you think sleazy, you think sex talk.
Sort of. I actually have... See, the thing about our show actually was kind of interesting that you mentioned this. I mean, I think we're branching out a little bit because normally we try to bring on, talk about alternative lifestyles and try to, treat various... humorous people, or not people with alternative lifestyles, treat their subject matter in a humorous way. But tonight, I've always been sort of guilty. I mean, I'm a regular subscriber to 16 and Super Teen, and if you or
Teen Beat,
NYM, Young
Tiger,
Mice, right?
Actually, Teen People.
And also, I get a quarterly update on Jonathan Taylor Thomas's whereabouts from his fan club, and they always have an article about you know, teen tragedy. You know, how I was cutting myself, or my mom's a coke addict, or you know, whatever. You know, I got pregnant at 14, and I always felt that we should have a feature like this on this show. And as Providence would have it,
we have a tragic teen.
We have a tragic teen, a few years away from a tragic teen, but.
So, I would like to. So without any further ado.
I don't know if the story is actually tragic as much as really friggin' weird is how I would describe it. That's certainly how I felt at the time. But I wrote something up, and I want to read it to you, if that's okay.
It's okay. I'm going to ask my producer to pot down my microphone so I can move it, because I feel trapped behind it.
So feel free.
Yeah, it's a little poem. It's called I Am a Barn Creaking Creek. No,
creaking,
I'm just kidding.
Creaking.
It doesn't actually have a good title yet. It's really a work in progress. It wasn't a great love affair. It was, in fact, pretty tawdry and embarrassing. But she was the first woman I ever slept with, and it was a shock to hear that she'd been found dead in a local park, stabbed again and again and again. It's something I think of from time to time when a certain mood catches up to me. I think back on myself and what a dickhead I was, and wonder how much I've really changed. I wonder what separates me from her, or from Michael, who killed her, or from any of the other men that used her the same way I did. In 1986, I was 18 years old and pathetically virginal. It wasn't for lack of opportunity, but rather lack of expertise. In my last year of high school, I dated a number of girls who, in retrospect, were doing everything to seduce me, short of actually slapping me upside the head and saying, "Hey, have sex with me, you dolt." But I was young, inexperienced, nervous, and stupid, and I never got the message. But now things were different. I was in college. I was permanently horny. I was terminally unhip, and I couldn't get a date to save my life. Girls, like bees, can smell fear, and I was exuding the pheromone stench of desperation. They fled from me in droves. On some level, I knew this and wanted more than anything to rid myself of the scarlet V on my chest. Only then, I thought, would I ever have a prayer. One day I was hanging out with Paul downstairs, who lived with Jay. Paul was a sophomore. He'd been around the proverbial block. He smoked pot and had cool Dayglo posters. He was a mature adult, not like us freshmen. We looked up to him as a role model as he failed out of school. Of course, he was also a total geek, but we didn't know that. I was in Paul's room, a dingy one-bedroom affair a mile from campus. Like my room, it had that early 80s sense of style, off-white walls, beige turning to dirt upholstery, with dark-stained wood on the cheap furniture, non-existent lighting. One day, bemoaning my fate to Paul, he mentioned a possible solution to my problem.
Homosexuality.
You know, actually, I'm going to interrupt myself here. That never occurred to me as a solution to my problem, but if someone had mentioned it, really? Who knows? I mean, it could have been an entirely new me.
Never too late. So many young men miss the obvious solution.
Am I still a token straight on the show? I'm just curious.
Nope. Okay. I'm just a token.
Paul had greasy black hair just above the shoulders and a long, wavy pompadour gone mad, the kind of haircut that says, "I can't grow my hair really long, but I'm going bald soon, so I want to make the most of it while I still can." He had an olive complexion and a bent nose, thick eyebrows and dark eyes, always somewhat sleepy and half-lidded from all the dope. "There's this girl, Julie, I know. Dude, she is easy. One of the guys at Delta Row told me about her. I called, and she totally did me. Here, let me give you her number." Now, I realize how completely tacky this sounds, but at the time, this phone number felt like manna from heaven. I called her that night. I said, "Hi, my name's Peter. Paul gave me your number. I was wondering if you'd like to go out this weekend." There was a very long silence. "Who are you?"
Come on, do the squeaky voice.
I can't do the squeaky voice.
Aw, man.
"Why do you have my number?" "Well, I go to school with Paul, and he said you were really nice, and I should give you a call." "So you go to the university?" Yeah. Another long silence. "Oh, okay, I guess so."
She said yes?
Yes, she said yes. Now, looking back, I can't believe that conversation actually happened. I called a complete stranger, asked her out. Actually, I invited her to my apartment for dinner. And without knowing anything about me, what I looked like, whether I had any conversation skills other than "you, me, date, good," other than that I went to a good school, she agreed. I thought it was a good sign, but I was too naive to realize it was a sure sign of impending doom. Well, that Saturday night, she came to my room, and that's when the real fun began.
Well,
wow.
Wow. So basically, to make a long story short, I got lucky.
Well, let's hear the rest of it. Come on, we've got time. We've got 45 minutes.
That's extraordinary. I mean, well, okay. I mean, this is the difference between Dr. Sexopoulos and myself, is that...
I like the foreplay. Or DJ Fran is.
You like to just get it over with and move on, right? I mean...
To an ex-conquest.
I like to be teased. So, I mean, you know, my... This is incredibly arousing. I mean, and I think it really touches on, you know, many, many important themes. For we've got a bunch of new kids here at Carnegie Mellon here, mm-hmm. who are probably in exactly your position, you know.
Right.
Powerfully, I mean, they're in their male, you know, sexual peak or somewhere thereabouts. You'll correct me. I don't know when the male sexual peak is.
17, I guess. But it slipped through my fingers, so to speak.
And you know.
Slipped through your fingers and into the special blue sock.
You know, Kleenex, always been a Kleenex man.
And, you know, the kinds of actions that always seem embarrassing and irrational after you masturbate seem like, you know.
Well-reasoned philosophy
categorical
beforehand.
Imperatives,
yes.
Well, yeah, before masturbation. And so this is what you did. Someone gave you a phone number. You called this one out of the middle. But the beautiful part is she said yes. I mean, what was going on in her mind, do you think?
So I've wondered that, and I've puzzled it. I'm not sure how comfortable I am positing, but since I know you'll have a boring show if I don't at least try.
Spin your webs of fantasy, Peter.
Spin
Go
my webs
it.
Of fantasy. Really, I just have I have almost no idea at all, because there was absolutely no kind of redeeming qualities to either me or the way I made my approach. You know, I mean, this if
you
I was
have
coming
a nice
for
voice.
I don't know if I did at the time.
Maybe
but
she's
I mean,
a sucker for a baritone. I don't know.
Dude, I called someone up and said, come over to my house and do me, okay? I mean, that...
You said have dinner. Maybe
yeah,
she's
whatever.
Very hungry. Maybe she didn't have any soup in the house that night.
When was the call and when was the date? What was the time difference between
There were a couple days between there. Mm. So there was an opportunity to back out. As near as I can tell, as near as I can tell, she had a thing for men at this particular university. She was a high school graduate, and I don't recall if she was going to college or not, but she wasn't going there. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be her thing. And eventually, this is really where I guess DJ Frond was referring to the tragedy. Eventually it got her killed. It got her murdered.
Wait, someone died?
She was murdered, yeah. Not too long after she deflowered me. Oh, so gently.
Took your maidenhead.
It was, I mean, I'm laughing about it now, and but it is really horrible. She was at a frat party with I guess she met a guy there who also went to this university, and they were both pretty drunk and pretty high and on various drugs, various chemicals, various hallucinogens. And they drove to a nearby secluded spot where they proceeded to have sex, whether consensual or not, no one knows, although I take my guess that it was, and then he stabbed her. And I think it's that same, the same trust, the same, what's the word I'm looking for? Just the willingness. I don't know, it's naivete. Will you come over to my place? Sure. Okay,
I think it goes
fine.
Beyond trust, like that veers dangerously over into like lack of boundaries and...
Right. Well, I don't want to blame her for. I mean, certainly
no.
What happened to her shouldn't happen to anyone.
Well, no, I'm thinking more of your experience, right? There's a line between, say, trust and, I hesitate to use the words, but stupidity, right? Like, mm-hmm. random J random stranger calls you up to invite you over to his place for dinner. Oh, hello. I was receiving signals from the command satellite there for a second.
So I kind of stopped my story at a very convenient place, you'll notice, which is before I actually have to describe any of the lurid sexual details. And the reason I stopped there is because it's damn hard to write about.
Well,
it's very embarrassing and it's very personal. But I know that...
Well, if it's embarrassing and personal, what better place than a radio show that's going to be archived for all of eternity?
Well, I need Fran to say what he's going to say about...
He does have that look in his eyes, doesn't he?
I need your catchphrase if I'm really gonna.
Well, normally I would ask my guest to turn the detail knob all the way up so that we could all share anything. But this is such a sad tragic story. I mean, I first want to, you know.
We haven't gotten to the tragedy yet.
I know. Well, how true. I mean, it's just I just know it's going to end. You know how like you know when you're watching a Sequest DSV and you know it looks like. Everything's lost, and then Darwin, the dolphin, like takes the control and saves the Sequest. I mean, you pretty much know that's not going to. You know that Commander Nathan Bridger isn't really, you know,
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, your metaphor is beyond my primitive earth brain, I think.
Darwin, they have this intelligent dolphin that swims around.
What do you want, Frond? What are you looking for, really?
I'm sorry. See, this is how I deal with tragedy, is by turning it into my own sick humor. What I want is, of course, to understand
the wet, sloppy details.
This whole situation just as much as I can, and hopefully have at least some fraction of sensitivity for this woman and for her terrible tragedy. And also, for you to tell us just as much as you can about everything you know about this. And the first thing I'm curious about is, I want to go back to the date with her, and mm-hmm. I want to know like what you learned like in between the sex act, you know, whether there was any sign of, you know, what did you learn about her, you know, what can you tell us about her as a person? Were there, as DJ Sexopolis has posited, you know, were there any sort of self-destructive tendencies, or, you know?
Did she seem unstable?
Bad judgments?
I wouldn't say unstable as much as very, 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 very passive. To the extent of, you know, hey, let's do this. Well, okay. And I suspect that may be what, you know, eventually led her to her unfortunate demise. I don't know what lesson to take away from that. From my perspective, I mean, again, looking back, I wince at how clumsy, I jokingly call it the seduction. But I mean, if ever there was some poor bastard who deserved to not get laid, it was me on that night. I was doing everything possible to screw it up.
So what do you mean by that? I mean,
okay, well, like, I'll give you an
example. Did you burn the macaroni and cheese?
I probably did. I actually don't remember much of the dinner itself. I probably, just based on my memory of the rest of the story, I probably did something like, I said, oh, let's forget dinner. Here, come into my bedroom and we'll put on some lousy music. I mean, I honestly don't remember that part.
So set the scene for us here. So at your swinging bachelor pad.
We're at my swinging bachelor pad. I'm trying to be a swinging bachelor.
Cooking that ramen.
Yeah, exactly. And we are in my bedroom, sitting on the bed.
Wait.
We just went straight there.
You fast forwarded. We don't know what she looks like. We don't know what she was wearing.
She shows up.
She shows up. I've never seen her before. And she like me, she was somewhat less than average good looks and somewhat more than average overweight. Not actually.
Did she have the hook and the scar from ear to ear like you have?
Well, I got that scar many years later defending my country's freedom. So no, she did not.
Okay.
But
and the hook?
No hook. She was dark hair, rather stocky.
The DJ requires your reaction. So like most less than good looking. What did you say? Less than average, below average looking, above average weight men. You probably, I'm not saying that you are or were, but most people like that still want like a fabulous babe as a sex partner, right? I mean, everybody does.
It never even entered my mind. as God is my witness, all I was thinking was chance to score.
I don't care.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, at the time, it had never even occurred to me that there were all these, you know, really fabulous gay activities going on. If only you'd been there to show me, Frond, I might have been different. But you missed your chance.
Well, I was dating Ben Affleck.
Probably. He's really demanding. So
I think the sum total of it was, you know, she walked in the door or whatever. I took one look and I had that like maybe one moment of disappointment, and then just kind of said, oh, well, yeah, I knew the risks when I signed up into the army.
when you did the cold call.
When I did the cold call.
So she came in. Did you guys have dinner? Or is it basically come in and let me put on?
No, we did have dinner. I think I made some really lousy spaghetti or something like that. It was pretty awful.
And did you talk? What did you? I mean, were you trying to impress her? Or I mean,
were you trying to be her friend?
I was mostly trying to think of how to end dinner as quickly as possible, and you know, get to the part where she's really easy, like Paul had promised me. I know that sounds cold, but that's, you know, more.
Hey,
or less
we are all guys here. We all know. From whence you speak.
Right. You know, I don't know if that's actually fair. You know, when I was 18, I just wanted to be held.
Look where it got you.
So there you are. Sped through your spaghetti dinner.
Right.
The paper plates and napkins on the table.
Trying to do the clumsy kiss thing.
You're rushing.
I made the move on the kiss, right?
Really?
Yes. I got a very dry, very kind of like, ew, he's kissing me type kiss. I pulled away, and she said, do you mind if I smoke some pot?
Wow. This is so amazing. I mean, this is actually,
yourself up, I guess.
I'm glad you're so insightful. So, I mean, this is the beautiful part. So, like, how do you make the move? Like, you're at dinner, you're sitting on the opposite sides of the table. Like, you get up, like, go around and grab her from behind? Or, like, I'm saying that there's some point when you're two people in two separate parts of space, and then you have to, like...
Are you talking about how does a normal person make the move?
No, or
how does a freshman with absolutely no social skills whatsoever make the move?
How did you make the move?
I just basically, you know...
Got up and pushed your face into hers?
Shuffled over. Yeah, pretty much. You know, I wasn't rough about it, but, you know... as I said, she was fairly passive. I think someone who wasn't so passive would have rightly picked up a plate of spaghetti and smashed it over my head. I mean.
But just to be entirely clear, this wasn't like, you know, I mean, I've had a couple of dinners like this in my life where we're having such a good time and the person is just, we're just like so into each other.
Nothing like that.
She's not like beaming at you saying, oh my gosh, you know, you're so wonderful. Please kiss me.
No, pretty much we were both bored to tears. I mean, it was really, there was absolutely, what I'm trying to convey here, and I don't know if I'm really getting it across, is the complete angst-filled existential despair of the entire evening.
Oh no,
there
I
know
that
well. Redeeming about it.
I know it well.
So you keep trying to bring in these little light notes of hope, and I'm just telling you know I promise you they ain't there.
Bleak, well, deep potato sack of despair.
Well, God is, you know, God is in the details, right? I mean, so you know, I just want to make it clear.
That's the devil, actually.
And so,
if God was in the details this evening, he was mocking us.
He
was a cruel, vengeful.
That's
God.
Like an $800 studio monitor, you know.
Yes. Okay. I'll stop fondling it. It's just so sexy. I like the pleather ear.
So, anyway. So she asked if she could smoke some pot, and right. I was very uptight and very much anti-drug.
Oh, really?
My first semester.
Despite your hero worship of Paul or whatever his name was downstairs.
Yeah, I'd never actually done anything, but I realized that if I was going to get lucky, I should just basically agree to whatever she wanted to do. I said, sure, you know, whatever you need to get in the mood. Didn't actually say that, but that's, of course, what I was thinking. And pretty much after that, what happened? Let me see.
I'm sensing some selective memory here. I mean,
yeah.
There is. Well, I mean, one of the reasons I'm trying to write this down is I'm trying to actually remember it. Mm. I'm hoping that I'm not dredging up false memories and, you know.
Well, as long as they're amusing, we don't care.
And certainly as long as...
were there midgets involved?
No
Pope?
Midgets. No Pope.
So, okay. So she sits on your ratty, stinky couch.
More or less, yeah.
Gets high. Mm-hmm.
Which you just masturbated on, like... earlier that day while watching Sports Line or whatever.
And so did you have music on? Did you have, like, did you put on the Deep Purple to get the funk moving?
No, I don't think there was any music. That would have been something that would have been an attempt to set an appropriate mood. And as I believe I indicated earlier, there was nothing quite so.
So instead you had the harsh, flickering, buzzing fluorescence turned
yes,
up all the way.
With the concrete wall and the small window cut in it with the sounds of the traffic coming in from Madison Avenue.
Yeah. And so then you guys shuffle over to your mattress on the floor.
More or less, yeah. And
the spanker chiff nearby.
And we started to... embrace very clumsily. And it just was like a complete and utter nightmare. At some point, I managed to lift her shirt up, at which point she hit a groove that she obviously was a lot more comfortable with.
This is one of those electron well things.
And started to take off her clothes. Actually, so this is something I've noticed a lot in a number of situations, and I've noticed this since this awful clumsy thing. Moments when you're with someone who definitely wants... sex, wants mm-hmm. to be with you, wants to do stuff, but you don't really know each other all that well. You've never done it before. You'll be very clumsy and very kind of nervous until one person says, hey, take off your clothes. And then the other person goes, oh, wow, okay, and is totally relaxed and cool because now they know where they stand.
Right.
Has anyone else experienced that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It takes away the uncertainty, however like thin that uncertainty may be, right, mm-hmm. until the actual garments start hitting the floor. You're not quite sure. But once they are, then things seem to be kind of on rails, right? Because you're both on the same page. You're both after some of Mother Nature's hot, sweaty monkey satisfaction.
Well, I'm going to defer my comments. I beg to differ, but I will beg to differ on a few.
Yeah, have you been in situations there where the uncertainty still existed after?
There's all kinds of uncertainty. I mean, I've been in situations where I've had to create – I mean, there was actually – well, anyway.
No, 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 no. Please.
There was actually a situation where my partner was so uninterested in me that I suggested that we have a little game where he pretend that I was someone else, and he can actually call me by a different name.
Wow, that's...
And I would play along. I thought that would turn him on a little bit more. So, you know, that's...
Did it?
Kind of, a little bit.
Or did he run screaming?
No, I mean, he
did he call you daddy?
Was the other person someone famous? Someone we didn't know?
Ben, perhaps?
Well, okay, yes, he...
Was he calling you Matt?
He's actually calling me Will Hunting. I don't know. But let's stay on track here if we can. Mm-hmm. This show's not about me, as you know.
That's right.
So she took off her clothes, and I took off my clothes, such as they were. And
that's romantic. Yeah. Strip it down before the game.
Have we established that romance is not in the ballpark?
Had you bathed earlier in the day?
Yes, actually.
Were you presentable?
I'd taken my weekly shower because I knew that, you know, I'd read that somewhere.
Did you put on your polo?
I don't think
cologne.
Don't think there's any cologne involved. But at which point I started getting she gave me a little oral sex,
really?
Which at the time was. Was you know
a whole new adventure.
It was all I could do to not end the game right then and there. Yes, I'd never. I was completely.
You mean it was arousing?
You were totally untouched. You were pure as the driven snow. Hitherto.
Yes, and just about as pure as the driven snow.
Just by your
maybe the snow had been peed on by one or two huskies, but not
maybe, maybe a chipmunk.
Right.
Okay, by your terminology, I thought you meant you were just having to tick her out because her oral sex technique was so bad. But
no,
what you meant
I did not mean that.
You're about to send little monkeys home for Christmas.
I think I need to write that one down.
You've never heard that?
Yes, in fact, I was about to send little monkeys home for Christmas.
Sweet mango lassi. That's got to be the funniest euphemism I've ever heard. Yeah, I have to write that one down. Anyway, back to you, Peter.
So
can we call you Smooth P?
I hate you both. So
there she is, speaking into the mic.
Speaking into
Boy,
the
this
mic.
Would be a great story if she didn't end up dead.
Thanks for bringing it down, Front.
So at this point, I kind of lifted her up off of the incredible heat-seeking moisture missile because I knew that my goal here, I was very goal-oriented and focused, that very much what I wanted to do was lose my virginity. And somehow I had an idea that I actually had to have sex in order for this to happen.
Sounds like we have
phone call.
A phone call, since the callers always come first.
Is the caller on the air?
Yes, the caller is.
Did you have a question, comment, and most probably a concern to share with us or the listening audience?
Well, okay, speaking as a virgin, but as a go-getter virgin, I'm interested in this whole sort of concept of goal-orientedness with losing your virginity.
If you can just be patient with us for a little bit, we're adjusting our various knobs and dials in order to make this the ideal listening experience for our listeners. Having a little bit of technical problem. DJ Smooth P, did you get the question? The question was?
The question was, could I explain in a little more detail the idea of goal-orientedness?
Well, I'm curious, do you break it down into a series of steps? Do you set it up like affirmations?
No, actually, I had just this overwhelming feeling that everyone in the entire world had sex except for me, and that if only I could somehow have sex, I would be normal and people would like me. That was the sum total of the goal. I want to be clear, it wasn't even, you know, have sex so I can feel good and have lots of orgasms, because I was really good at doing that by myself. It was very much that I needed to have sex so that I could
you
be
could
normal.
Check that little box off on
that's
your...
On the purity test. That's exactly right.
Having also been a freshman in college virgin, I totally understand.
Does that help answer the question, caller?
Well, I mean, no, because I understand those feelings all too well. The question is, you know, with most of the goals that I have, you know, let's say getting killer abs or owning a really hot car, right?
Right.
I can, like, break it down into a series of steps. And
like
then see the steps one by one.
Get the 85 Camaro, fix it up, drop a 4-barrel in that baby. I see what you mean.
Exactly, right? And I just want to know how to, like, you know, carve up the sexual beast the same way.
Well, think of it this way, caller. Make an analogy. Think of the 14-year-old girl who wants to get married, right? Like, she's not breaking that down into a series of steps, like, find the man, mm-hmm.
have sex, convince them you're on the pill.
Are you suggesting I find the 14-year-old girls who want to get married and lie to them?
No, but that actually, that idea has a certain amount of appeal, doesn't it?
Well, you know, caller, with PNC Park downtown nearing its final completion, I think it's time to reintroduce the old bases metaphor. First base being kissing, second base being touching the breast, third base being bondage, and the fourth base being actual...
Being killed in the...
Yeah. Home run sex. Maybe you could use that as your breakdown.
Yeah, it's actually... Getting that first leadoff hit, that's the problem.
Right, yeah. Well, you got to take a lot of swings, I guess. There's a lot of pitchers out there. I don't know.
you're all fumbling pathetically, and I actually have...
There are a lot of pitchers, but they all seem to be monstrous Randy Johnsons continually striking me out.
Okay, listen.
Maybe you have to get closer to the mound.
It's time to stop the talking and start the listening, because I actually have the answer for you.
Are we about to get a wisdom smackdown from Frond?
Yes, exactly. The thing is... As DJ Peter is about to point out, women can smell desperation.
Yeah, there's this odd zen
exactly. They,
thing you
they
have to get into.
From you if they think you want them. So the obvious thing to do is to not want them. And the best way to do that is to turn gay. Spend every night, down at the piers or at the bars or whatever. Just
at the manhole.
Blowing every man you can. And just live the gay lifestyle. And this will be such a turn-on for all these women you're craving because you're now, quote, unavailable.
Right. Or perhaps easier but maybe a little less fun is just get a fake wedding ring. Chicks seem to dig married guys. If Jerry Springer is any indication.
So let me break these down in easy steps. According to the first host plan, it's A, turn gay, B, blow every guy I can find, and C, wait and let the ladies roll in, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the other plan is get a fake wedding ring. And
or do both, because married guys, gay men really like married straight guys. That's a big turn on too. So I'm seeing
What do I care? I mean, what do I care what the men actually like?
Well,
that's a pretty selfish attitude, isn't it, Collar? I mean, who are you down there on the pier for? Is it your little selfish needs? No, it's those poor lonely sailors.
Make little instant
after 6 months in that submarine, what do they need? They don't need to hear your little whining, your little oh, what about me? Oh, it hurts. Oh, it stings down there.
But I'm just using them as part of my plan, anyway.
They need to send their monkeys home for Christmas.
So, have we helped you at all, Collar? Or we?
Well, I mean, now that I've got my list of steps and I know how to accomplish each one of those steps, I think I'm all set.
It might help to create a flowchart.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Collar.
Bye.
So anyway, there you were.
Yes.
She was coming up off the floor after...
Right.
Now,
all I really had to do was have sex with her, right?
That was the goal.
Right. So I need to give you another example, and I swear to God that this is absolutely true and it's not a false memory. My subconscious really, really wanted to keep me from having sex with anyone ever as long as I lived until I died. And so it made one last desperate attempt to screw things up. To screw things up for me, which is we're about to have sex. I'm on top of her, okay, pretty much. Like kind of getting into position as much as I understood the position to be, which
condom?
Vaguely involved crotch to crotch. Well, isn't that the question? She said to me, by the way, this is really funny because I really get indignant and on people's case when they don't use birth control, but of course I'm a frigging hypocrite.
As every guy about to score is.
Right. And she said, do you have a condom? Now, actually, I did have a condom somewhere because I'd thought to prepare. But you see, Paul, the cool pot-smoking sophomore downstairs, had told me that she was on the pill. And I said to her, aren't you on the pill?
Oh.
Right.
Wow.
And so I got that look.
Like
that
either you're psychic...
Right. And she looked at me and she said, how did you know that? And so I summoned up every last drop of cool I had in my body, which amounted to about maybe two drops of sweat that were glistening off my buttock at that point. And I said, well, isn't everyone?
Ooh. Yeah. And smooth pee to the rescue.
Aren't all the beautiful girls?
Yeah. And she, I should have tried that. But she grudgingly accepted that, even though I'm sure that somewhere deep inside, she actually knew the score. Mm. And, I mean, as much as we're laughing, I mean, I want to make clear that I don't find this funny. And when I'm laughing, I'm laughing at myself, and I'm laughing at how pathetic I was. I'm not laughing at her.
Oh, no. I mean, we're laughing
at
you, too.
I feel really sad. Okay, good. I just want to make that. clear. So, you know, we did the deed. It lasted, it must have been at least 10, 15 seconds.
Hey, excellent. And, better than my first time.
Yeah, well, it was a close call.
But all kidding aside, how long precisely?
No, all kidding aside, I'm lucky I made it in. I was very, very excited. It was, you know.
15 seconds, really?
If that.
Should he use the condom?
You're probably right.
Or a little, like, what's that?
Liquid nitrogen?
I was thinking that spray, that throat spray that numbs your throat.
Chloroseptic. Is that
have you ever tried that?
It would either be incredibly painful. You know, certain things, like when they hit your scrotum, are incredibly painful, or it would work. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, I recently went camping, and let me tell you, Dr. Bronner's is not really appropriate as a all-over body wash, if you know what I'm talking about. Just as a note to the wise. You know that fresh tingling feeling it gives you when you use it to wash your face?
When you say Dr. Bronner's, all I can think of is some kind of like...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, it's a soap. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, I've definitely had many mishaps with my own scrotum involving... but
how long did you last the first time you had sex?
See, it's different. And this is why it's different. Because you're doing this whole heterosexual thing, which is you're calling the first sexual experience to be penetration.
Okay.
And so my first sexual experiences involved all kinds of, like, fondling and mutual touching and oral sex and so on. And with those kinds of things, I think it's much easier to control your...
Monkeys.
Because you can start...
Have you ever pitched anal sex? Have you ever been on top? And was that different for you? Have you ever...
In my life? You mean up to now?
Yeah. Sure.
But, I mean...
So the first time. Actually, I guess you were plenty experienced.
Probably the first anal...
Pitched.
First time I did sort of a lot of anal sex, or any significant amount, it was with my partner. And so we'd been together long enough, and there's all kinds of the usual trust issues and so on. I mean, I think this is extremely common for, like, heterosexual men, like, having the first time they're actually going to score with a lady. Mm-hmm. There's so much built-up tension and so on.
Absolutely.
My friend Jay tells a story of, you know, the first time he was definitely about to score with his girlfriend, and he kind of shot his load before he actually made contact, but she hadn't noticed because he was like on the bed, and he said to her, "Honey, let's just cuddle instead."
Whoa! Nice. Did she buy it?
Yeah, nice. Apparently.
Wow. Actually, if any of our listeners have seen the movie American Pie, the scene with one of the heroes and Nadia, you know, the super hot Czech exchange student. Like, there's some premature ejaculation humor in there, which, like, strikes to the core of every man who's been on the verge of his first sexual experience, right? And the excitement, the tension. It does tend to speed the encounter, as it were. Mm-hmm. You look puzzled, Franz.
I'm trying to figure out whether I'm different. The reason I'm not relating to this is because I'm different, or because there were lots of other sort of experiences that led up to that in kind of a smooth... I mean, theory A is that in my experience, there were a bunch of other experiences that sort of smoothly led up to that, and so it was less monumental.
So I'm reasonably confident that if I or any other guy was getting lots and lots of oral sex before our first sex encounter, it might have been different.
Yeah.
But especially, yeah. I mean, at 17 years old, I was definitely pushing, you know, the oral sex was, gee, wow, okay, someone's got their mouth on my weenie, that's really great. But I was definitely pushing to go for the main event.
Yeah. And I think I empathize with DJ Peter more than you do, DJ Front, because my first sexual experience was also a one-night stand. Not quite as sleazy as barren and bleak as yours, but, you know, sad, pathetic, and horrifying in its own way. But, yeah, there was I think the fact that it's a one-night stand puts all this pressure on you, like all this performance anxiety, big pile of performance rocks sitting on your back, crushing you, crushing you, crushing you. Sorry. So, anyway.
What a downer.
There you were. Slam bam.
Slam bam, thank you,
Peter.
That's amazing. I mean, that's just amazing.
And so you're huffing and puffing. Clearly, she's...
So now I'm done. And at the time, I'd never actually heard the phrase post-orgasmic chill, but I was to be introduced to it very, very quickly. And more or less, I said, wow, that was really good. Thanks.
Whoa.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it wasn't quite that cold. And I'm sure that I made some pathetic attempt to disguise what I was saying in some way other than please get out.
Do you remember what you actually said? For the viewers that are just tuning in, you know, you called up the stranger. She comes over. You serve her a bad meal. You kiss her uninvited.
Yeah, you're 100% so far. I mean, this is...
You don't even put on, like, smooth, mellow rockets of the 70s.
Right.
You basically insult her because by revealing that...
You knew she's an easy score.
And then... You ejaculate within
yeah. nanoseconds of injury, leaving her unsatisfied,
right.
soiled.
Right.
Wow. And then, and so the, afterwards...
Filthy with your seed.
I mean, do you, so was there
Yes, any? I got a second date, if that's what you're trying to ask.
Holy smoking potatoes.
Yeah.
Whoa. No, that wasn't... Wow. Well, I was going to get to that. The first question is, like, when that happens, did you say... Gee, you know, I'm sorry that was over so quick. I guess I was excited, or were you like?
No, because I hadn't ever done this before.
But you knew it had to last longer than.
I don't think I necessarily knew that consciously.
If you touch that again, I'm going to beat you. $900.
Man, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard that.
I have to pay for that. Sorry for stepping on your line.
No, just I had no idea. I mean, I really didn't. I mean, I guess I had some idea, but. I was too excited at the prospect that I guess I had kind of technically had sex to really be too upset about not lasting long enough.
And so,
there was not a lot of caring and sharing going on either side.
And so, I mean...
Other than a bodily fluid.
I suppose it's beyond absurd to ask that if you knew what the clitoris was at this point, right?
You know, I don't remember if I knew or not, but I certainly wasn't paying any attention to it. If I did. I'm going to say that I probably didn't.
So... How fast between you ejaculating and the door slamming?
I would say 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah.
That's a... Wow.
Yeah.
That is cold.
It's not a pretty tale. And that's why I find it so hard to tell, because we all want to think of ourselves as kind of sensitive lovers, and we always do the right thing, and, you know, anything bad that's ever happened to us has been something that was put on us by the cruel forces of an uncaring universe. But a lot of what I'm trying to do in telling this story is come to grips with my inner dickhead. I guess. Come to grips with it, you know, that this is how I act or acted. You look like you're about to weep, DJ.
Well, I wonder if we just got beeped for what you just said. But I'm not sure.
No, the producer shakes his head. He says it's A-OK with the FCC to say dickhead. So you got a second date?
Yeah.
Did she ask for it? Did you?
No, I think on the way out I said, yeah, you know, you want to do something next week? And she said, sure.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
She's not a very demanding date.
I mean, so at this point it's like 9:30, right? I mean, did you have any urge at all to, like, you know...
Check out Sportsline?
In your mind, wasn't it like, gee, maybe after we have sex, you know, we could go to ice cream or, like, walk around or, like, watch TV or something?
I'm sure if you had asked me before that I would have said that sounds like a great idea. and afterwards, I just... So someone once said to me...
Post-copulative clarity.
I actually heard this today. One of the people in Boston that I was talking to said this, that what you pay for when you go to a prostitute is you're not paying for the sex. You're paying for him or her to leave afterwards. And I mean,
that's a uniquely masculine look at it, but...
Well, we are all men here.
That's true.
And some of us are pigs. that did not cross my mind. On an instinctive level, I knew that this encounter was over, and I wanted it over with. And I'm pretty sure that she felt the same way too, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she was being particularly romanced off her feet. So, did you go on a second date with
her? Yeah, we did.
Was it more of the same?
It was more of the same, although I had figured out the last longer than 15 seconds thing by that point, and in my head, I think she came, you know, she got on top and looked like she was having fun.
Really?
Yeah, but it was definitely...
The story does have a happy ending.
Well, kind of. I mean, it was very much a mutual using type of thing. I mean, there wasn't a lot of love in this little tryst. I don't know if that makes...
Wow.
And that was the last time I ever saw her until I saw the photo in the paper.
How long was that?
About 3 or 4 months.
Oh, so it wasn't like 10 years later.
No.
Wow. And so this was a student at the university you were attending at the time that killed her?
Yes.
Wow. And in the aftermath of... the murder and the trial and so forth, was like any motive established, or was this guy just kind of a nutcase?
He was pretty clearly a nutcase. He had all sorts of Satan worshiping sort of attitudes. I had a friend who was in the same dorm as him, who kind of, you know, was talking to me about this and was like, "Well, dude, everyone knew he was just totally nuts."
Wow.
He had a reputation as a dangerous person, although I don't think anyone thought he would actually murder. He's in jail. I mean, as far as I can tell, he's in jail forever. for a sufficiently long time that it may as well be forever. He was on hallucinogens. You know, his defense was that he didn't actually know what he was doing.
Well, geez, I've taken enough hallucinogens to startle the Grateful Dead, but I've never wanted to kill anybody, so that's not a very good defense in my eyes. Well, maybe not startle the Grateful Dead, at least interest them. But they've all been done in countries where it's been legal in sufficient years in the past to be past the statutory limits. For any FBI listeners who may be out there.
So I'd like to just briefly recap some of the details you said earlier. I know you said this once already, but you mentioned some details which I'm not clear on how you know them. You said she and this gentleman had been taking a lot of drugs and they had sex. Like, did that all come out in the...
A lot of it came out in the coroner's report. They had clearly had sex. No one can say what actually went on because he certainly wasn't talking. And, we don't know exactly what happened, but we know that they had sex and we know that she was killed with a really big knife, stabbed lots of times.
Bizarre.
And it felt very strange to me because, and here again, I'm going to say something that's hard, and I don't like saying it because it makes me feel like I'm a bad person, but I wasn't hurt by it. By finding this out, and what really sparked my whole coming out with this story was I was telling the story to someone, and I realized as I was telling it, I was getting all sorts of sympathy, like, "Oh my God, how horrible! You know, that must have been really awful for you." And it was the realization that in my head it wasn't really awful. It was strange. It was weird. I kind of was dazed for a few days, but I didn't feel, you know, I wasn't weeping hysterically or even really. You know, sad and in the...
Well, she wasn't much more than a stranger to you.
That's true.
Right? You probably didn't even know her middle name.
That's true.
And so, I don't think it says anything bad about you. I think it says something sad about the affair, if we can use a word that grand for it. But I don't think it says anything bad about you personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just kind of physically and emotionally incapable of feeling sadness over every tragedy that affects every person we've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to be the nurturing, caring guy here for a moment.
Thank you.
You know, I think this is a sign of modern America's disaffected youth, the kind of River's Edge phenomenon, if you will.
I haven't seen that movie.
Well,
sorry.
Then you can't answer my question.
Yeah. I'll just shut up. I mean, it says something kind of about the emptiness of one-night stands, but I think since, you know, age immemorial, one-night stands have been with us, and they have been... kind of inherently empty. I mean, it's not about emotional sharing and caring, as you said, Peter. It's about sending the monkeys home for Christmas.
What I find interesting, at least about this one-night stand, and I'm kind of curious if this is a common belief or if it's just that I'm a complete freak, was that it wasn't even about coming. It wasn't even about having an orgasm. It was about checking that box off. That was what it was all about. Practicing, even, one might
say. I think that's so funny, too, in some sense, because, you know, on the purity test, there are so many other things that you can check off by yourself. You know, like, have you ever shoved a Coke bottle up your butt, right? Or
Well, that's not on the 500-question purity test.
I wasn't literally using the purity test.
Really? The Coke bottle thing?
Not on the 500-question, maybe on the expanded 13,000-question purity test, which undoubtedly is out there somewhere. Your next woman you had sex with, this is a girlfriend? Was this another one-night stand? I'm just curious.
The next woman I had sex with was a girlfriend. And,
and did you say the last woman I did this with is dead?
I didn't tell that story for many years. I didn't tell this story for many, many years. And you'll be glad to know that, you know, after we had sex, me and my next girlfriend, I didn't tell her to get out right away.
Good. You had learned. Yeah. You had learned something. You look puzzled, Frond.
Well, all right. I'm actually very interested.
Is it our heterosexual shenanigans which are so alien to your more highly evolved gay sensibilities?
I'm really trying to understand. And I've certainly been in that situation. I'm pondering in my own mind this idea of sympathy for the tragedy of others, and I'm wondering whether it is indeed, you know, sort of, you know, your pathetic adolescent detachment, which is all too common, and, you know, I'm certainly been in the same situation. Well. Similar situations. I mean, I think right now, for example, you would feel a lot differently if someone that you'd met even casually ended up brutally murdered, I think. I mean, this must be a teen thing rather than... I mean, you're sort of justifying it as, you know, natural. It's natural not to care that the woman that you had two dates with ended up, you know, in the most notorious murder of that town of that period.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't think it says he's a bad person for not.
No, but I'm just wondering if this is a,
If anything, I'm a bad person for just having the dates in the first place.
I'm just wondering if this is a sort of characteristic of teens, sort of amoral teenage years, rather than. I mean, don't you think? Like,
it could also be, you know, if I could just 101-ize our guest for a moment, it could also be this kind of thing where, you know, the whole little affair, the whole scene was kind of so tawdry and empty and depressing in and of itself that to therefore feel bad about the woman's death would, you know, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
So the basic thing I felt at the time, the basic thought that went through my head, and yes, I am perfectly aware of how horrible this sounds, picked up the paper, saw the picture, said, whoa, literally, out loud, read the article, read all the details, and I said to myself, practically out loud, yeah, that figures.
Wow.
And it's to this day, that's what I think. And that's one of the reasons I'm nervous about telling the story at all, because speaking ill of the dead is not generally a genteel thing to do, and I don't want to do that.
I don't think that's necessarily speaking ill of the dead. I mean, there are lifestyles, there are personality types which kind of lead one to, what's the word? Not necessarily always bad ends or bad lifestyles, right?
I guess really if I could do anything with this appearance, it's to urge women out there to whatever you do, for God's sake,
don't sleep with
antisocial geeks.
With big knives.
Actually, on this campus, I guess I'm taking my life in the hands. But
yeah, you know, there are 1,000 antisocial geeks outside who are going to lynch you now. But, you know, there are personality traits, there are behavior patterns which can increase your risk, right? Like, if she was, you know, my mind is blanking on me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a little hard to say. I mean, I think that there are 1,000 men and women in colleges every year that take sort of equally dangerous risks all the time, and you get away with it. I mean,
yeah, I'm not blaming the victim. I'm trying very hard not to say that, but it's...
So the victim went out to a party and had a good time. I mean, there was nothing unusual about doing that landed her in such dire straits. It's just a sad
story. But one can
make
stupid decisions or bad decisions if you make them consistently.
So I guess I just view this story as very sad and pathetic on every dimension. I view it as sad and pathetic in terms of, you know, my involvement with it, and I view it as sad and pathetic in terms of what happened to her. And I'm interested in trying to tell the story, and I don't know if it's a story people want to hear.
So you've written the story on your website, or something?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. It's you can find the latest version at any given time by putting your browser at peterb.telerama.com/sex. Sorry, I was looking for something easy to remember, and that's the first thing that popped to mind.
peterb.telerama.com/sex.
Sorry. You got it.
Excellent. Well, and in our own website, where you can reference this and all other shows, is sextalk.wrct.org.
Could I put a link to the story on your website, actually?
I see no reason why not.
Sure, right. In the write-up for the show.
I'll get our team of web experts on that programming task.
Yes.
Right away.
Our XML Perl hackers. Looks like we're almost out of time, Frond.
I'm emotionally devastated. This is why I've been sort of quiet the last half hour or so. Your story's moved me beyond my ability to speak. But I would like to thank our listeners for listening in. It's been an extraordinary show. Please tune in next week, Tuesday at 11, same time, same frequency. This is WRCT Pittsburgh.